message is just Jesus Christ saved me and the thank you for that. This medley sounds having there with French churches, Protestant church, that we in Africa sang. We grew up with these songs. And, for me, these are the series of songs from high school to all the way faith journey that spoke and still now speak to me. So I want just to share this series of songs with you. So enjoy it. It's coming from the hymnal, French hymnal, called the Songs of Victory.
Yeah. Well, good morning, friends. It's good to be together. Welcome to our time this morning. May God bless us as we join together, acknowledging that we arrive here this morning, bringing our unique selves to this space, our many different understandings about the world and how we fit in it, our own interpretations of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We bring our different ages, we bring our different life experiences. We come together not in spite of our differences, but because we believe that being in community makes our journey that much more meaningful across our differences, across generations. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be a person of faith in a vacuum without community? I think about that every once in a while, and to be quite honest, I'm not sure that I would be a person of faith without a community around me. We need each other to help make sense of this experience of life, of this sense of being a spiritual being, and how faith all fits in with our world. This morning we gather to share with each other, to challenge each other, to reflect on our world, and to try and understand and connect with the divine. From time to time here at University Mennonite, we also have other voices join us to help us along that journey. And this morning, I'm really excited to have my friend, Reverend Dr. Donna King, pastor at St. Paul AME Church in Bellefonte, to bless us with her message as our visiting minister. I'll tell you just a little bit more about Reverend Donna later in our service, but I'm excited that she is here with us to give us her prophetic voice. Each week as we begin our worship service, we have a tradition here of lighting our peace lamp. This seems especially relevant in this moment in time where political division, overt racism, and ongoing marginalization seem more commonplace than we'd like them to be. We might find ourselves wondering, where is God in this world that's feeling so much pain? Our tradition of lighting this lamp reminds us that we are on this journey together, trying to be the light of God in a dark world. Please join me in a confessional prayer as we begin. Creator God, we humbly bring ourselves today in our joy and in our sorrow, carrying all of who we are. May our souls rise to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. We lift up glory to the Creator and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I invite Rogers to bring us some congregational singing this morning as we begin our time together.
The first two hymns will be from Sing the Story, the plum colored book, and if you'll turn first to number 63, God Fill Me Now, and stand if you are able. I'd just like to make a comment before we start this. We had a weekend retreat many years ago in which we were taught about the attitude of worship and prayer in the first century church, and instead of our Western concept of closing our eyes and bowing our head and clasping our hands together, instead they prayed with eyes open and with arms outstretched and palms facing upward. And I think if you're at all comfortable to at least assume that position, it'll fit very well with the words of this particular hymn.
God, fill me now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You
fill me high, and you draw me to your presence. Thank you.
At this time in our service, I'd like to invite the children forward. Amy will be leading our children's time this morning, so if you could come up front here, kids, and to this part here.
Boys and girls, so nice to see all your smiling faces this morning. So, has anyone here ever gotten lost, gotten separated from your mom and dad, maybe when you were at the store or at the park? Has that ever happened to one of you? Yeah, I know it happened to me when I was a kid. In fact, sometimes I would go and hide from my parents at the store. That did not make them very happy. Parents usually aren't very happy when children do that. Today's story is about a time that Jesus got lost, got separated from his parents when he was 12 years old. So I thought I'd tell a story to help us think about how Jesus thought about this. So one day, last summer, I was cleaning my house, and I left my door open a little bit too much, and my dog Hector got out. And when I realized he was gone, I went out in the yard, and then I walked up and down the street, and I was calling, "Hector, Hector, where are you?" And I didn't know where he was. He wasn't appearing. So after a little bit, I sat down and I asked myself, "Well, if I were Hector, where would I go?" And then I thought, if I were Hector, I'd probably go to my favorite place, which is Slab Cabin Run, the stream, where there are lots of animals, there's water to splash in. That's Hector's favorite place. He wants to go there every single day when we go out. And so I got in my car, and I drove down, and there was Hector. And when I found Hector, I said, "Hector, where have you been? I've missed you." And Hector just looked at me, and then he got in the creek and started splashing around. He didn't think that he was lost. He knew where he was and where he wanted to be. And in today's story about Jesus, it's kind of like that. Jesus got separated from his parents after a big festival where there were lots of people in a town, and his parents started going home, and then they realized, oh no, Jesus isn't with us. So they were walking up and down the path, calling out for Jesus and asking people if they had seen him. And no one had seen Jesus. So they went back to the town. And finally, after 3 days, can you imagine how scared his parents were? Finally, after 3 days, they found Jesus. And this is what they said to him. "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." And Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So Jesus is telling them, "I'm not lost. I went to the place where I should be, which is in the temple with God." And Jesus' parents were very surprised by his response, but they thought and thought about it and realized that this was Jesus' way of saying that he knew where his real home was. All right, so let's pray. God, help us to remember that our home is always with you. No matter where we are in the world, you are with us and we are at home. Amen.
Okay, so kids, as you're heading back, Sue and Vonda and Becky invite you to go downstairs right now to work on the craft that you've been collecting for this summer. If you're interested in going to do that, just be aware there's also going to be hot glue guns. I've been told the adults will be using the hot glue guns, but if you are a kid who maybe can't handle being around hot glue guns, bring your parent with you. It is time for our offering. Now I'd like to invite Annika and Alethea to stay before they go to help me collect that. And This is part of being in community, to have a time to share our gifts through our weekly offering, an offering that supports not only our congregation, but the many ways that this body reaches out to try and be God's light in the world as we join that movement. Thank you, Mike, for playing an offertory for us this morning.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way bring some loving here today, yeah. Father, Father, oh, we don't need to escalate. Can't you see war is not the answer? Only love can conquer hate. Oh yeah, we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with your brutality. Come and talk to me. Please talk to me, yeah, so you can see, yeah, so you can see what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. Mother, mother, everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who are they to judge us simply 'cause our hair is long? Yeah, we got to find a way. Bring some loving here today.
Please join me in a prayer for this morning's offering. Lord, we lift up these gifts. May they remind us to be generous in our lives, to help us to be people who get in the way of injustice and trouble the waters of oppression. Thank you for whispering to us that we are beloved. Help us now to whisper your love to those who long to hear that there is a loving God. Amen.
Please turn in your the blue hymnal of worship book to number 579, Lift Every Voice and Sing. There's two sides to this, and at the end of the first page, we will insert a two-beat measure, a pause, before we go on to the second side, which has a different tune.
Reverend Donna did something really nice for a worship planner and asked if she could bring along her own scripture reader, which is pretty great. So I'd like to call forward Dr. Cy Meriwether DeVries from the Friends meeting to read this morning's scripture passages. And while she's coming up, I'd like to tell you just a little bit more about our preacher this morning. Reverend Dr. Donna King is a longtime resident in our area. She's the minister at St. Paul AME Church in Bellefont at the historic Church on the Hill, a documented site along the Underground Railroad here in our community. In addition to leading her congregation, Reverend King continues to be an advocate for justice in our community through her work as a local historian, teacher, activist, and tour guide showing people the hidden racial justice history of our area and the ways that we've worked to bring light to this problem. A few years ago, she asked if I would speak at a Veterans Day service, perhaps not knowing the Peace Church tradition that I come from, and I asked if it would be okay if I spoke from that Peace Church tradition of nonviolence, from the posture of lament during Veterans Day. Reverend Donna was grateful for that voice, and months afterwards, she continued to refer to me as Mr. Lamentations, and so we've got that kind of a relationship. Those of you with good ears will have also picked up that during our offertory this morning, Mike played his own rendition of Marvin Gaye's iconic song, What's Going On, a song that Reverend Donna likes to quote from time to time in different places that are in need of justice. She's even been known to bring along a boombox to use music as a teaching tool, asking again, what's going on in our community where we've been working hard and still have work to do? I'm proud to have her as a colleague and as a friend, someone who inspires me to continue to show up in places in need of God's justice and God's peace. Thank you so much for being here, both of you, for Dr. Tsai and for Reverend Donna. Please come forward now and bring us the message.
Today's verse is Proverbs 22, verses 1 through 6. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor of life. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul for the Lord shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 1 of Proverbs 22 reminds us to value our good name over the riches and the favor, and to love God and to know that God's favor is better than all riches. Verse 2 reminds us that the Lord is the maker of all people, both the rich and the poor. Verse 3 describes the actions of the prudent and the foolish when faced with danger. The prudent hide, the simple suffer for it. In verse 4, we are reminded that we must be humble, and in that humility, we will be granted the riches of our Lord. Verse 5 cautions us to avoid the froward. The froward are those who are difficult to deal with and contrary. If we follow the Lord and keep our soul only for him, we will avoid those thorns and snares. The commentary of Matthew Poole was born in York, England in 1624, and he was educated in Emmanuel College in Cambridge. He became the minister at St. Michael de l'Aquin's in London in 1648, and he devoted himself to the Presbyterian cause. However, he was ejected from his charge because he was considered a nonconformist after publishing a treatise on the value of preaching by non-ordained individuals. He then devoted himself to biblical studies. The first fruits of his studies were produced in 1669 in the Synopsis Criticorum in 5 volumes. It's known today as a monument to biblical learning and has served for many generations of students. Matthew Poole died while writing his commentary. English annotations on the Holy Bible, and his friends completed his work, which was eventually published in 1685 and is still published today in 3 volumes. In Poole's commentary, he tells us, train up or initiate or instruct a child in the way he should go, according to his way, either according to his capacity or rather in the course or manner of life which thou wouldst have him choose to follow. Poole goes on to say, the impressions made in childish years will remain, as hath been observed by all sorts of learned writers, by this, as many proverbs of like nature are not to be understood as if they were universally and necessarily true, which experience confutes, because it is so far, for the most part, except for some ordinary, extraordinary cause, will hinder it. Your words are not the only source of impression. Have you been tenacious in your acceptance of God's leadings in your life? Are you able to withstand the extraordinary cause and not be hindered in your walk? What will you show all children? What will you show the world? How do you lead? Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he or she will not depart from it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can't do this by myself. Need the help of the Lord and friends, and that's kind of humbling. But thank you for inviting me. Greeting from St. Paul AME Church in Belfont. I'm here today because there's a connection to the Mennonites. St. Paul Church was built in 1859 and had a fire in 1901. And the elders would tell me that the Mennonites helped to rebuild the church. So I feel very much at home with the love and the unity and peace that I bring to you as part of the ideology of freedom and spiritual way of bringing people together to not only right or wrong like slavery, but let's just say I stay in that abolitionist mindset from the past. It's still in the present, and I feel it here today. So today I'm supposed to speak to you about the lost child and how they marveled at his wisdom. When you see a child talking with the elders, usually the elders are the ones imparting the wisdom. And I'm around the elders a lot. I'm under the tutelage of a 91-year-old minister, Reverend Benjamin Morrison, who taught me everything I know about being a preacher. And the elders of my church have passed away one by one. There's one left who's 85. And they told me, child, you need to become a preacher. And I said, excuse me, I'm a teacher. I teach English teachers. I'm in teacher education. They said, in your point, you need to become a preacher. And you need to become a historian. And I said, well, okay, can I hear my calling? You can't hear my calling for me. But they knew my destiny and they knew my fate. And I resisted because I didn't understand. So the lost child, I stand here very humble to say, if you don't know what you don't know, then people should be patient and wait until you get it. Amen. whether it's 12 years old. Sometimes people know their space and place. I didn't at that time, but, you know, over time, the Lord showed me, and they showed me. They taught me a lot about the history of the church, but also the Spirit of God. And I would ask them, you know, they're in their 80s and 90s and 70s, and I'm like, how do you do this? You know, how do you do what you do? How are you here every Sunday? How are you so strong? And they just look at each other and say, okay, who wants to answer this time? Said, it's not me. It's not us. It's the Spirit within us. And then one day my mentor, Thelma Price, Mama Price, I don't know if any of you know her or knew her. She told me, child, you've always been bright, but you're not that bright. You need to give all glory and honor to the Lord for that doctorate that you're trying to earn, for everything that you do, and be humbled with it. And that's when I realized I could be a teacher, a preacher, a historian, and a scholar. But it's not me. So the lost child that's now being found is standing before you saying, listen to what Jesus tells us. The song we sang today, open my eyes, open my ears. Ears, eyes, hands, arms, mind, heart, come Jesus. How many of us, when we get lost, do we go to Jesus? Do we go to the temple? Do we go to the sacred places? I don't know about you, but, you know, being a cancer survivor and now cancer is back again, I'm reaching for higher ground. Ask me how I'm speaking right now without coughing. Amen. You got to see the witness. Marvel at his wisdom. Marvel at his Spirit. Marvel at his signs and wonders and miracles of things to come when it's meant to be, because I'm supposed to be in this temple today with you, being filled up. Isn't that what the song says? Didn't we sing another song about fill me up? I don't know about you, but I'm very conscious of what I'm being filled with lately. A lot of toxicity. Always fighting. Always sitting in meetings. Always fighting. And I feel kind of humbled to say that fighting in the school district and sitting in meetings once a month for 2 years for the rights of children, and they just happen to be my grandchildren, and my grandson found out that my cancer came back. He told his mother, Grandma's cancer came back because she sits in all those meetings to advocate for me. And I looked at him and said, you know what? We're going to keep fighting, but we're going to fight a different way, because I'm going to take that child to the victory. And how are we going to do that? The world is the way it is. But we're going to make him extraordinary. Give him the gifts and the talents and make him a scholar. And you know who's going to teach him? The schools, but also the community. See, we have freedom talks at St. Paul once a month where we talk about social justice and what freedom is. And it's intergenerational, and the children are there to meet with elders, to meet with the community, to talk about the issues and someone listening to their voice of what they're going through. That makes them feel validated. So many times we're going places where you think people hear you, but they don't hear you. As the old Southern minister used to say, Dr. Roosevelt Green at church, y'all don't hear me. And I should sit in the seat and say, yes, I do. And that's when they reminded me, also the elders, so how am I supposed to be a teacher and a preacher? They said, excuse me, four of us are professors at Lock Haven University, and three of us are preachers. So what's your point? So sometimes being led by example, you could be sitting right there amidst the marvel and the wisdom and the example and the role, but you don't see it. But when you open your eyes and you open your mind and you open your heart and say, oh, come Jesus, he shows you the way. Amen. In Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, I wasn't looking at all the benefits. I was looking at the other side. And it consumed me. Now I'm back to the benefits. Saving my breath. I'm not in the hospital on oxygen. I'm breathing on my own. Amen. Breathe on me, breath of God. One of his benefits. I'm not sitting in places that's going to take my breath away. Or I talk a lot. My husband's so comforted that I have to be still and quiet. I'm learning a lot from being still and quiet, but I'm also not wasting my time or my breath anymore, especially when y'all don't hear me. Or people don't want to hear you, and they shut you down. So it's like, as my mother would say, I'm not going to dignify with an answer. And sometimes being still in your presence is more important. Because see, when I'm quiet, people look like, are you okay? Is something wrong? Say, no, something's not wrong. Something must be right, because maybe I'm opening up my eyes and my mind and my ears, and I'm coming to Jesus or my presence is what's important. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thine diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. And I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Because morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all that I needed, his hand is providing. So how great is my faithfulness? How high are my expectations for God now? See, I'm the lost child. And how long am I going to stay that lost child? I can't heal if I'm not in the right space and place. And that place of peace that surpasses all understanding. And that spirit of going to a higher ground. See, sometimes the Lord has you be a lost child and you go back to being a child. 1 Corinthians 13, 14. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away my childish things. So I'm not going to keep you long, but putting away childish things and growing up and growing with Jesus, that's my journey now. That's my healing time. That's my higher ground path. Different eyes, Romans 12, 16. When I was in the hospital, the lung doctor that came to do the procedure on my lung, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. He said, oh, let me try to figure out what my favorite scripture is. He said, I know it's something about different eyes and seeing things through different eyes. Meanwhile, he's doing a procedure trying to remember his favorite scripture. But see, that was a sign. Finally, the nurse and I, when he was done, we looked it up. See, different eyes. You can't be lost if you're looking at things through spiritual eyes, not your own. And that's all Jesus wanted, was to say, you're looking for me in the temple, and I'm in my Father's house, and I'm about my Father's business. That's different eyes. That's a different mindset. That's a whole different way of thinking. And when he finally finished and left, he said, okay, Rev. I said, am I going to be out of here to preach on Sunday? He said, well, if you are, I'm sorry I can't be there, but I'm honored that a minister is going to preach on my favorite scripture. Amen. Was that a sign and a wonder? Did God take me to the temple to be with a kindred spirit? See, and it keeps happening. So if you kind of pay attention, I call them glory moments. And that's what I've had. But you got to open your eyes and your ears and pay attention. Not to all the people who are naysayers or who haven't been around. What about the ones who are showing up? What about the ones who are present? What about just presence? So I'm saying that to say, put away your childish things. Grow up. Grow up with Jesus. Open your eyes, your mind, your arms, your heart to what you're supposed to see through those spiritual eyes. For now we see through a glass, sometimes darkly, but then face to face now. Because I know in part, then shall I know, even also that I am known. That's in 1 Corinthians, because we need to marvel at his wisdom and his presence, and he knows your name. He knows your name. And oh, how he'll walk with you. And oh, how he'll talk with you. And oh, how he'll tell you that you are his own. Are you listening for those words on your heart? Are you listening for that type of peace and comfort? So Proverbs 22:6, when it says, rear up a child in the way of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go or she should go. And when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. So my question to you, are you departing from this way? I go Waverly. I call it Waverly Place. But now I'm back and anchored because this lost child, again, is living in ordinary times, but I'm supposed to be an extraordinary child of God right now. The lost child, just like Jesus. We thought he was lost, but he wasn't. He went to the temple. Even though his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem as a custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. But the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary knew not of it. But they, supposing to him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. So when you find him not, do you turn back to Jerusalem or go back to the temple to seek him? Where do you go when you're lost? You need to go back to the sanctuary, back to the Savior, back to the Deliverer, back to the Healer, back to the Redeemer, back to the Counselor, the Child, and marvel at his wisdom, seeking him. And then when it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting amidst the elders, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at the understanding of his answers. They marveled at his wisdom. I am astonished at the understanding of his word and the answers when I seek Jesus. And sometimes I don't understand. I know not, I'm not supposed to understand. That's why he takes you to higher ground. That's why you have to be humble. I mean, how many degrees do I have to have? I'm Reverend Dr. King. Doesn't make a difference. When I go sit in community meetings, sometimes I say, should I wear my collar? Should I wear my robe? Will it make a difference? Should I bring my boom box and say, what's going on? Because it's supposed to be about the children. And when I do that, they just look at me. If they could press a button and eject me out the room, they would just say, oh, she's back. But which role am I in? Sometimes they ask. But seeking Jesus and speaking with Jesus, let me just give you one example and I'll close. Do you know what it's like to be able to answer the question, and what hat are you wearing today? Are you Dr. King, Reverend King, or the activist? And I say, can I tell you a little story? You know, these parables make sense. Because usually it's something that has happened before. And let's marvel at this wisdom. Just bringing you that history from St. Paul AME Church. You know, you say, I'm here as a representative of St. Paul AME Church because in the 1880s, I think the trustees of the church went to the Bellefonte School Board and talked about desegregating the school. See, the colored school wasn't adequate for the colored children. They want to be integrated into the white school. So I come doing the same thing. I'm coming to talk about the children of color and all children and to give you a little historical moment. See, that's when I go to the temple. I'm speaking from the temple, like in the light in the chalice. Say, open your mind and your hearts and your ears and listen to this word. Because they desegregated the schools in the 1880s in Bellefonte. And I said, if they can do that in the 1880s, what are we doing now in 2018, 2019? I think we need to kind of progressively move forward. So talk about representing. Who am I representing? God. And once again, abolition. Come on now. Don't need my robe. Don't need my collar. I always wear my hat. But truth. Come on with that. What's going on? Amen. Now, if you want to listen to me, fine. If not, press the button and eject me out the room because I will give you the historical document that shows that it happened. So am I a threat? No. Marvel at his wisdom. Because if blacks and whites can come together like that in the 1880s, what are we doing now? So questioning Jesus, talking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, knowing Jesus, being astonished at the understanding of his answers. And they said unto him, how is it that you sought me? Jesus said this to his parents. Wish ye not know that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not. Because even then, did they know that the baby Jesus would be the one to turn out to be the Savior? Mary, did you know that the child that you gave birth to would be the Supreme Counselor? Where else would he be? He's in the temple. But they understood not. In the last verse, 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So do you understand his wisdom? Are you increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God in man? Are you lost? Because if you are, go get found. We need to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man by opening up our eyes and our minds and our arms to all of these things that are precious and good, not just marveling at his wisdom, but walk with him, talk with him, be in the spirit. When you light the chalice, that light is so very important. And if it goes out, let somebody else relight your fire. There are no blackouts with Jesus. If anything, you flip the switch. It's eternal. It's so easy to invite it in and put it back on and be filled again. Why don't we marvel at that wisdom and gift of the Holy Spirit? So lastly, if we're going to increase in wisdom and stature, being the professor that I used to be, my church, like, she's always going to look up a word. So I looked up stature. And it actually means height, physical height, natural height. I say stand a little taller with Jesus. But it also means importance or reputation gained by ability and achievement. And then I looked up wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. But marvel at his wisdom, not your wisdom, because my wisdom has gotten me in trouble. Sick again, full of dis-ease. So now I got to go in ease and let the Lord heal me again and cleanse me of all of that. And I'll tell you what, when and where I enter, I'm going to be very careful where I go and what I take in. And I'm going to be quiet. So my presence will be the power. Of course, with a little historical fact to kind of document and prove what I have to prove. Amen. But it's always going to be abolition, because that's love, faith, trust. And we need it now again. So, that being said, the last word was favor, approval, support, preference. Preference. My preference is not worldly wisdom anymore. Got enough of that. Even though I would like to go back to school, Perry, and get another master's in history. Why? Just so I can be in school with all of my grandsons and show them how to do it again. And this was something to do. But that worldly wisdom is not going to help me anymore. Do you hear me? So as I heal, and before we sing a song together, in closing, who do you belong to? Have a different belonging. And you know what? Wake up in the morning with your mind stayed on freedom. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. So if I say that, can you sing the part? Hallelujah. 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 Let me show you how the song goes. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. You say hallelujah. 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 You can't hate your neighbor in your mind if you keep it stayed on Jesus. You can't hate your neighbor in your mind if you keep it stayed on Jesus. You can't hate your neighbor in your mind if you keep it stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the captain of your mind if you keep it stayed on Jesus. Come on, Jesus is the captain of your mind if you keep it stayed on Jesus. Jesus is the captain. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah Square. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So we're supposed to end with the song, Amen, because it goes with the scripture. So if I say the words, can you sing the chorus? So see the baby. Amen. You get it started, then I'll come in. Let's go back to the beginning. See the baby lying in the manger on Christmas morning. See him in the temple, talking with the elders, how they marveled at his wisdom. See him at the seaside, talking to the fishermen, and he made them disciples. Go out and be disciples for the Lord and just love Jesus and let him fill you up and marvel at his wisdom and be humbled and learn. Don't be a lost child. If you get lost, be found again and come back to the temple. And by all means, just be about your Father's business. Thank you so much for having me. I could sing. I could talk without coughing. Praise the Lord. Do you see his miracles? Amen. Amen.
We're nearing the end of our worship service this morning. I'm wondering if there are any announcements.
Good morning. Dave Bepler here. There was no need of my introducing my guest because she did a marvelous job in explaining to you her background and why she has come to this community. For several days, but not a long period of time, I will be her host. She's living with me in my small apartment. I feel that I may have enough compassion, but I don't have enough space for the two of us. For her own sake, Anna Maria needs to have more space than she does in my cottage with me. So I would say that my two greatest concerns are, first, that she finds suitable housing in this community, and that's where you folks all come into this. She needs to be here close to the university and close to us so that she can make use of the CATA bus system and move around the community easily. Second, she needs to find employment. And as I've gotten to know her over the last 48 hours, I know that she has a willingness to do many, many things. She has a lot of skills. but she, that is a need. And then other things will come along as we as a community support her. So once again, for right now, I'm willing to be the point person, but you are the hosts and hostesses. She's coming into this community. I've already introduced her to my immediate neighbors in Foxdale who have reached out in an awesome manner in willingness to help her. So,
please don't give the wrong message. I have some appointments this week to meet with women's resources that are helping me with that. I really don't want to impose on the community, or no community. I really want to do it the non-profit way.
So, Anna Maria has mentioned just one of the places that I will be taking her to. One of the people, or groups of people, on the campus, in the community, like CenterSafe and employment opportunities, and that's my job to either do that or ask you if you will help because of contacts you have or transportation or conflicts that I have. So I do ask for your prayers on behalf of Anna Maria, who has had a stressful period getting here to the United States. She needs security, peacefulness, quietness, and to be surrounded by caring people. And I know we have that here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, and great to meet you, Anna Maria. I know we have a few other visitors here. We may have a few other visitors. If you're willing to stand and introduce yourself or have the person who brought you introduce you, please do so at this time. Everyone.
Well,
we
brought you. I did, about quite a few years ago. Our son Mark is here visiting from Japan, and we're very thrilled to have him here. And it's been a long time, so we're
welcome.
Happy.
Yeah. Any others? Back here.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and this is my mom, Chris, and she's here to visit for the weekend. So.
Welcome. Yeah. Anyone else who'd like to introduce yourself? Okay. Are there any other announcements before we conclude our time together? Okay. I know the summer is a busy time, and I appreciate you all journeying together. We began this service by reflecting on the fact that we are different people coming from different places to enter into this worship, to be community together. And I think that the Spirit has been present here this morning in all that we have shared, in the incredible message from Reverend Dr. Donna King, and in the many ways that you have shared vulnerably and deeply as a congregation here this morning. We will forego our sending song in place of holding that space and that memory of all that we have shared together. But if you would please stand for a benediction, we will do that here now together. God of peace, God of grace, and God of mercy, go with us this day as we continue to wake up to the freedom that you offer us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Amen.